All right, we'll go ahead and call this meeting to order. We are being recorded live tonight and on video. So we'll hopefully that'll all work out well. Maiden voyage, so we'll see. Anyway, Chris, if you would take the roll, please.
Councilmember Bruce.
Here.
Councilmember Biggs.
Here.
Councilmember Laraway.
Yes.
Council President McPherson, finally.
Here.
And Mayor Steer.
Here. And if you'll join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. First item is the consent agenda. Any questions, comments, anything you want pulled for discussion or motion? There's probably more options, but that's all I'm giving you.
Good.
The P&Z, since I'm new, I was just curious. Mr. Clark, was there anything else we need to know about it? Is there anything? I just didn't see any background on him or anything where they came to the decision of who they wanted to nominate. There's just the one page.
Okay. Let's just pull that for discussion. And
that's D2.
Yes, sir.
And where are we going to put it?
7I, I guess.
7I. Okay, then. With that, Mayor, I would move that we remove item D2 from the consent agenda and move it to business item 7I, and then I would move to approve the consent agenda.
I'll second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Is any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries. Down. What's that? Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, would you take the roll on that motion, please?
Councilmember Bruce.
Aye.
Councilmember Biggs.
Aye.
Councilmember Laraway.
Yes.
Council President McPherson.
Yes.
All right, and that motion carries. That takes us to business item 7A, consideration to approve case number 2204 LS lot split. Troy.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and council members. For the record, Troy B. Hunan, senior planner, 751 West 4th Street here in CUNA, planning and zoning staff. This property was recently approved for annexation into the CUNA city limits at the council's last meeting on April 18th. The application before you this evening requests a lot split approval in order to divide the same parcel, which is 1.66 acres, into two separate parcels. Public Works does conditionally support this application contingent that a prepaid EDU is purchased, coupled with the other conditions listed in the engineer's memo. Staff has reviewed the proposed lot split for compliance and for qualification and finds that it is in compliance with CUNA City Code, Title 5, Chapter 16, and the CUNA Comprehensive Plan. And should the council approve the lot split, staff recommends the applicant be subject to the proposed recommended conditions of approval outlined in the staff memo. The applicant is present tonight, and I will be here for questions.
Okay, any questions for Troy?
I think we had a question about that road that was to the south. The neighbors kept talking about, but it wasn't part of this land piece?
So, for the record, Troy Buchanan, that's a great question, Councilmember Laraway. Staff did go and check, and it was difficult to find any unimproved road or access way that was being discussed at the meeting. The only thing that staff was able to find was improved surfaces.
But it's not part of this property.
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Troy, has the EDU been purchased yet by the applicant?
Councilmember Biggs, no, it has not been. I suspect that they're waiting to find out if the lot split gets approved.
Fair enough.
And that will also come with the need for building permit or whatever, and that's the point in which those things would be paid for, right?
Mr. Mayor, that is correct. When they apply for a building permit, there's also a condition to see if there's already a connection for the existing house. But yes, that will kick off that.
Okay. Anything further?
Okay. Then I would move we approve case number 22-04-LS.
Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Motion's made and seconded to approve case number 2204-LS with the conditions of approval.
With the conditions of approval, yes.
Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries. consideration to approve case number 2303, time extension for Spring Hill subdivision number. Was there a number on that final plat? Number four? Jessica Reed. Oh, Jessica's not here.
Nope. Good evening, Mayor and Council. For the record, Doug Hansen, Planning and Zoning Director, 751 West 4th Street, CUNA. The applicant requests final plat time extension approval for Spring Hill subdivision number four, as they've encountered unexpected bedrock depths, thus requiring a portion of the project to be redesigned. Upon review, staff finds this request to be compliant with CUNA City Code 642 and recommends the final plat time extension request be approved, with the applicant being subject to the original conditions listed in the Spring Hill subdivision FCOs, as well as the conditions listed in Section 6 of staff's report. I will stand by for any questions.
All right, questions for Doug.
Hey, Doug, Spring Hill is across from the Swan Falls High School, right?
Spring Hill is right next to the Swan Falls High School, that's correct.
Okay.
And they found rock, amazing.
How much of a time extension are they asking for?
You get 1 year is the standard.
Hey, Doug, what kind of an extension are they requesting?
They're requesting a one-year extension for their final plat recordation date of the phase. So if this evening, they would have a year from this evening to record phase four of the final plat if the extension is granted.
And if I heard you right, if there is a redesign, it comes back to you.
So the redesign is already being worked through with the Public Works Department as a part of the plan review. They just won't be able to record phase four within their one-year time frame that's required. That's why they're requesting the extension.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay, anything further?
May I?
Yes.
This is the first request?
Yes, this is the first request for an extension of phase four.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. With that, I would move we approve case number 23-03-TE for the Spring Hill Sub final plat number four with the conditions listed in the packet.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? And that motion carries. Consideration to approve case number 2305TE, time extension for Linrock subdivision. Doug.
Mayor and Council, for the record, Planning and Zoning Director Doug Hansen, 751 West 4th Street, CUNA. The applicant requests preliminary plat time extension approval for the Linrock subdivision due to delays in installation of off-site improvements by other developments which are required to proceed with their project. Upon review, staff finds this request to be compliant with CUNA City Code 623 and recommends Council approve the time extension request, with the applicant being subject to the conditions in the original FCOs for Linrock Subdivision and the conditions listed in Section 6 of staff's report. I will stand by for any questions.
Okay. Questions for Doug?
No? Okay. Mr. Mayor, I would move we approve case 23-05-TE with the conditions listed in the packet.
I'll second it.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries. Now something fun. Discussion and direction on Kay and Avalon intersection traffic control option. Chris Engels.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. I wanted to start off by kind of giving a little bit of background on the Kay and Avalon intersection in general. We began this process a number of months ago, needed to go through a warrant study for traffic and signal. ITV and ACHD have both reviewed those. We've been working with Keller and Associates, and our engineer has been Stephen. In your packet, towards the end is really where kind of the meat of it is there's three options. There is a large roundabout, which takes a significant amount of right-of-way. There is a small roundabout, which still continues to take right-of-way. And then there is the actual signalized traffic light. ACHD has reviewed it. ITD has reviewed it. ITD, in general, does not have roundabout standards on state highways. Even though we're kind of at the end of it, we're still a state highway. ACHD, though they do support roundabouts, in this case, we would have to do, because we have four lanes coming from the east into the intersection, three lanes coming out with the center median, we'd have to reduce those lanes down to one eastbound, one westbound. So with all that being said, staff, in reviewing ACHD's comments, support an actual signal light there versus the roundabout. ACHD is here tonight to answer any questions. Doug can answer questions if he wants. Once we have direction from you, whether you want us to pursue forward with a small roundabout, a large roundabout, or the signal, the traffic signal, then we will then engage for the engineering, which you have already previously approved funding for that. And we will get that process going. And then during that process, we will continue to pursue funding through different sources. So I'll stand for any questions. ACHD is here for any questions. And, of course, Doug has questions.
Okay.
I got some.
Yes, sir.
Chris, you have to think back a little bit. Wasn't there some talk about ITD relinquishing part of this road at one point?
Sure. That's not on the table currently, and it's nowhere slated to be on the table in the short term.
Okay.
And even if ITD... let that turn over and surrendered it over to where it became a local road through ACHD, we still need signalization of sorts there. But also, ITD has been supportive of this project.
Can I talk to ACHD?
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah, if you would just come on up and state your name and address for the city.
Tap it to green. Yep.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My name is Edison Bautista. My address is 3775 North Adams Street, Garden City, 83714. Yes.
Thank you. The question I have for you is, with these options that are on the table, I don't know if roundabout is, because ITT doesn't recognize it, so I don't know where that's going to go.
They don't have standards.
But cost efficient, is it cheaper to put a light in, or is it cheaper to put a roundabout in?
Mayor Sierra, Council Member Letterway, that's a great question. As certainly that's part of, as you consider the both treatments. Overall, it all depends, and that's one of the questions I had from our traffic team. So it all depends on what the initial cost is. So it depends on the type of roundabout and that the type of impacts you have when installed. So, for example, in this case, there's it's hard to say because there might be impacts to right-of-way and properties adjacent, so what that would increase the overall cost of a roundabout. Well, a traffic signal... Certainly, it's easier to install, but it still represents a high cost and then a maintenance of operation and maintenance of that signal. So, in general, there's several factors that take into account when you look into roundabout or traffic signal. And also, so that's, I think that's the answer I can provide.
And a light would probably also alleviate having to give up one of those lanes on the east side.
Correct.
Councilmember Larraway, in your packet, towards the end of the packet, about the last maybe 10 or so pages, the engineer who did this from Keller, they've listed out the costs for each of the options along with those aerials and the right-of-way.
Thank you.
Impacts are there.
Thank you.
Did anybody else have any questions for Edison while he's up there?
No, thank you.
No.
Thank you very much. We appreciate you coming. Yeah, so the biggest thing with this is something we've been working on for a good number of years. We went aggressively after it, trying to get it in before the post office opened because we knew that was going to be an issue. And then there's also been some development up that road, so... that makes that increasingly more problematic. Fortunately, we haven't had any fatalities there, but when you have people trying to hurry and get out in traffic and then also have pedestrian traffic, you know, at some point in time, something bad is likely to happen, and we really don't want that, but... So it's taken a really long time to get to this point, but I think we're at a point now where we can actually get some action and get something done with that intersection.
Yeah, I think a light would be best, especially with the amount of traffic coming through there.
I think for pedestrian crossing, yeah. Traffic light's the best option.
Did it say it would have a turn signal on here? Or is it just a...
No, it would have turn link, because there's a center lane. So we do know that law enforcement, at least in peak traffic hours, has been requesting that ITD turn the yellow off, and so it's either a hard red or a hard green to, you know, avoid that just darting out in front of cross traffic. And we would support that on this light as well because of the volume of traffic coming through. Mm-hmm.
I think the traffic light would be a good idea, especially because it's a short trip between there and where the roads merge, where it drops from two lanes to one. It sometimes turns into a race. and people unwilling to merge, I think. So at least a stop and start again might alleviate a little bit of that too, rather than like, you know, the options of especially a two lane traffic circle.
Is your car able to get ahead in that?
Usually not. But I consider myself a conscientious driver, so.
Oh, okay.
Well, it seems to me that, and that's just my logic, that if you want a traffic control device, lights are the best way to go because the roundabout is not controllable. They're just going to keep going in circles until they get going where they want to go. And it's this way it's actually a controlled device.
It takes cooperation to make a traffic circle work.
They actually got it relatively quickly, too, from when we approved to do it, the study. So
what's the next step, then?
So we're just looking for direction on where to spend the engineering. So the engineer, we have to hire them to do it. So we need an option to move forward. So traffic light roundabout.
I would vote. Traffic light.
Yeah, I'll go traffic light as well. I'll make a motion that direct staff to make the necessary arrangements to put in traffic light.
Pursue a traffic light, yes.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. is there any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries. And I believe that's all you needed on that, right, Chris?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Thanks.
Thank you, Chris.
This was the one we had last time. We didn't have members abstaining, we didn't have a quorum to make a final vote on this. So the Red Cliff Development Default R27-2014. And Doug.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Mayor, council members. For the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning Director, 751 West 4th Street. This item was tabled on April 18th, 2023 due to insufficient voting members. Staff has not received any communication from representatives of the defunct Red Cliff Development. Staff requests that the council order the forfeiture of funds and direct and authorize that the $64,400 be removed from the city's agency fund and be moved to the city's general fund and earmarked for future public pathway and or open space improvements. I will stand by for questions.
Okay, questions. So, Councilmember Larraway, were you weren't here the last time?
Right? Yeah, he was here.
You were here.
I was
here. Oh, you were gone. Okay, so we kind of, I guess basically it's a matter of whatever you would like to know about it. We've already had kind of a discussion. It's been...
It's been a long while.
It's been a long time, so it does. And I think also it was mentioned that it's highly unlikely that even if they wanted to complete that particular project, so earmarking the money to go to a project similar seems like a good idea. So.
Yeah, no, I'm good with that. I read through the thing. So. So we need to... Yeah, so I would move we remove the $64,000 from the agency fund and place it in the general fund to be earmarked for future pathway and open space improvements.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? And anyone who wishes to abstain can just make that at the end of the motions here. So, all right, all in favor, say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? And anyone abstaining?
I will. Aye.
Okay. Council Member Bruce is abstaining from the vote. All right.
I think I spoke with legal. It didn't.
Sure.
Yeah. So.
No, you're fine. Item F, consideration and ratification of CUNA Police Station Contingency Fund. Chris Ingalls.
Thank you, Mayor, Council. Just kind of wanted to bring you up to date. Things are moving along really, really well. We're working well with Prusik. They have us actually ahead of schedule, but we're still expecting the same completion date, though there's every indication that it could happen earlier. We meet with them each Tuesday, get up to date. They're actually in contact during the week, just making sure that we know what's happening. As you may have noticed, we're starting the framing. Well, I said, Leon, I'm just watching from across the parking lot. But, and then in addition to that, brought forth for ratification $9,108.47 in contingency funds. It's listed there in the memo in your packet. The city also received a refund credit for $7,480 due to not needing bituminous waterproofing because the foundation has a slab. In February, just as a reminder, I did ratification for $17,299.30 out of contingency funds. And so this is in addition to that of the $9,108.47. I would ask that you approve, ratify the $9,108.47. I'll stand for any questions.
And these will be coming before council as we go, just so that we keep up with anything that happens there. So just trying to keep you informed on where things are going and how they're getting there. So,
do we have a target date?
Yes.
When is this supposed to be complete?
Yes. I can't tell you. That's a secret.
Okay.
Now, target date is in September.
Okay. Thank you.
And they are on schedule with everything. Walls, first part of the wall went up today. They should be whipping through that. I think it was, I believe it's about 3 weeks, and they'll set trusses. So it's going to go fairly quickly at this point. So
yeah.
Then, of course, you have the usual slowdown once they get inside and do door trims and window treatments and all that good stuff. So,
yeah.
But it's moving along well, and they have some very good crews working on it.
Yeah, we're really pleased that they're following the details, so that we do see these refunds of $7,480. I mean, those all add up. Or finding us a higher quality product at the same price. They just really have been diligent with that. So they've been excellent to work with. Our team, I think, it feels really positive about them. So. They put up with Chief Francisco really, really well, which we appreciate.
Okay, I would move we approve the ratification of
$9,108.47. I'll second. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? And that motion carries. Request for reallocation of funds for Train 1 and 2, Paul Stevens.
Mayor and Council, this is Pool 751 West 4th, CUNA, and I'm the city engineer. And we would like to move money from the lagoon lining budget line item to repair trains 1 and install train 2 at the North Wastewater Treatment Plant. This is a proactive approach because of all of our length of time to get equipment coming. We need to get it ordered now. We really don't want to wait for the budget cycle. And we may have to have some more money in the next budget cycle, but the $1 million that we're asking for right now will get us going pretty well and be a proactive move for the city.
Okay. Any questions for Paul? The biggest thing we've had is lag time. When we order something, it takes a really long time for it to get here. So that's the reason for the proactive move, is just to make sure we can get the stuff we need and not get behind.
So there was, Paul, there was no budget for train repairs in this year's budget?
There is money for repair, but not for adding the second train. So what we want to do is add the second train. Once it's up and running, then if there's money left over, we'll take the other train down and make repairs that we can't see. Wastewater is really bad on anything steel. It can be coated with all kinds of cool things, but it still rots. So we'll have some work to do in there, and we want to do it right now because we're on the cusp of having too much flow to be able to take that second one completely offline. So we've been monitoring our flows for quite a while, and we didn't think we were quite there to go on the last budget cycle, but this year we are, and we need to get this going because we don't really want to be low on treatment capacity by the end of this next year. So we need to do this now. It's an important thing for us to do it.
Well, I totally understand. I'm a big budget guy of planning for things that you may not need.
Uh-huh.
You know, preventive maintenance was my thing in the Navy, and so that's why if there's any possibility in the next year for something that costs this much, because if the Lagoon 3 didn't get the funds, we might be in trouble having to use other contingency funds, I would think, right?
Right, and the only reason we're asking now is because, like the mayor said, the lag times, mm-hmm. and then costs are going up every day. For example, we budgeted $1 million that we're trying to move right now, thinking it would cost $750. It's actually a little bit over $1 million. So that was just in a year cycle. So it's everything's just going crazy. So we're trying to beat the curve a little bit if we can.
Yeah, I just for the next budget, hopefully, you know, anything that might come up because of the growth that we don't expect, you know, I'm definitely not telling you how to do anything. It just seems like if the Lagoon 3 issue wasn't paid for, we'd be pulling this money from somewhere else that might be a little tougher.
We have savings to cover that sort of thing, but in this case, it's nice and clean just to do it this way.
Okay.
I have a question.
Yes.
We'll need this to start with, and you said we may need to budget more. Do you have an idea of what the total cost would be?
I don't really yet. I will give you a guess of about another $0.5 million. But we won't really know until we get Train 1 taken down to see how much repairs have to be done.
Thank you.
Okay, further questions?
Nope.
No, sir.
Okay, then I would move we approve the reallocation of funds for trains 1 and 2 for the Public Works Department.
Do I have a second?
No second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Is there anyone opposed? And that motion carries. Item H, budget results as of 3/31/2023. Jared Empey.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Jared Empey, City Treasurer, 751 West 4th Street. So the first item that we have before you is the cash statement as of March 31st. So each one of these budget reports is done on a quarterly basis. And so as of the end of March, we had on hand $69.7 million. And it's broken out by fund as well. And so you can see that, for instance, the general fund has $21.9 million. Of which some of that is a grant fund that is being grant money that is being held until it's truly earned, such as ARPA money of about $4 million. Then, as you can see, we have grant funds that are just temporary money, really, until those bills are paid. Then we have latecomers money that's used for reimbursing developers for various projects to which the city sees a benefit of additional growth. Then you have the water fund and sewer fund, irrigation fund, agency fund, let's see, solid waste fund, which is our trash fund, which is solely temporary monies that we then pass along to J&M Sanitation. Agency fund, which is money that we hold until development completes certain requirements that we have as part of their various projects. And then we have certain trust funds, such as the capital project fund. We have the park impact fund, police impact fund, and then the urban renewal district. And overall, I see this as a positive number, especially given the interest rates that we're earning on any funds held. The second page just shows a basic profit and loss for each fund. And as you can see, essentially each fund is running positively. Revenue in accounting is negative, and expenses are a positive number. So if it shows that it's a negative, in my world, that's a positive thing. So overall, the city is 3.5 in the positive. The general fund is projected to be positive for the year. The grant fund is always a negative. Is always a neutral fund, just based on the way it operates. Latecomers fund this year will likely be slightly more expenses than revenues due to slower building permits and simply paying off some obligations that we've accumulated. Water is looking good. Sewer is also looking good. I'm particularly pleased with sewer. We're covering our costs really well in sewer, and we're also covering expected future outlays well, and depreciation especially, which is an ongoing cost that is projected for the obsolescence of our infrastructure. Irrigation fund is doing very well. Trash fund, that's just a pass-through, as I stated. And then capital project fund, that's always a net zero fund. And then park impact fee, police impact fee funds, those are accumulating, but at a slower rate due to building permits. And then urban renewal, that's accumulating money, albeit at a slow pace, since it's only the second year of operation of that. Then, as you can see, we have broken out by line item. I think overall everything is looking stable and positive. Despite lower building permit revenue due to economic reasons, overall everything is looking good, because even though building permits have dropped off, interest rates have increased, which has allowed us to fill that deficit. Also, sales tax revenue that we get as part of the sharing money with the state has increased, likely due to inflation. If inflation, you know, is running at anywhere between really 8% and 12%, then you know, despite people maybe cutting back in certain things, you can only cut back so much on certain line items within your budget. So I believe that that'll probably be fairly steady despite the economy. Property tax revenue is stable and right in line with where we expect it to be. And we have some expenses that are, you know, things that we're monitoring. Some of them simply weren't budgeted high enough. Some of them were trying to take advantage of getting good deals. Others are just the fact that, for instance, car repairs have increased significantly due to inflation, increase in parts prices, and general inflation. But overall, as I stated, I think that everything budgetarily is running well, and I'm pleased overall with where we're at. So if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Any questions for Jarrett? And we will begin budgeting discussions, workshops and things. What's your timeline on that?
Yeah, so the first budget workshop, generally we do the second meeting in June. Then in July, the second meeting is when we do hold our tentative budget. And then the second meeting in August is when we do the final budget. So by law, we have to have everything completed basically by the 1st of September, but to avoid any hiccups, it's good to complete that in August. So,
okay. Any questions for Jared? All right. Thank you very much, Jared. Then we have item I, P&Z Commissioner. Doug, did you want to start out on this?
Yeah, sure. For the record, Doug Hansen, Cuno Planning and Zoning Staff, 751 West 4th Street. So just a bit of the background for the process we used to bring this appointment before the council this evening. Planning and Zoning Staff put out a call for commissioners on March 29th to the city website and social media. Four applications were received. We set up interviews with two of the candidates based on experience and qualifications. Mr. Clark interviewed with us on April 25th. He interviewed for myself, Morgan Treasure, the Economic Development Director, and Troy Behunin, Senior Planner. The second interviewee pulled her application out of the running prior to her interview on April 26th. Currently, Mr. Clark is the owner of a civil engineering and drafting company. He has civil engineering, drafting, and design experience over the course of 20 years.
Okay. Did you have any other specific questions? Anyone?
Okay, sir. How many spots are we filling? Are there one or are there two?
And Mr. Clark is here this evening, if you have any questions for him.
Did you want to say anything? Sure.
Just to make sure that I'm 100% above board, I offer drafting services to professional engineers. I am not an engineer. I just want to make that absolutely clear. But I have been in the field for 20 years.
And if you would just state your name and address for the record.
My name is Brian J. Clark. I am at 1596 North Firebrick Drive here in CUNA. I'm sorry, with the engineering board, I want to make sure that's blindingly obvious.
Yeah, you're good. Well, we appreciate you applying for this and being willing to help out and do that type of thing. That's a very important role to fill, so. Thank you very much for that. Did anybody have any questions?
Did not.
Okay. All right. Thank you
very much.
Thank you, sir.
And did you get your question answered? One or two spots?
I thought there was two open. There's just one.
Was there just the one open? Okay.
Just one currently.
All right. All right.
We need to vote on that, don't we?
Yeah.
Okay. Then I would move we approve resolution R36-2023.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded for approval. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? All right, that motion carries, and thank you so much. We appreciate it. Consideration to approve ordinance number 2023-01A. Municipal annexation and zoning ordinance of the City Council of the City of CUNA, making certain findings and declaration of authority and annexing certain real properties, to wit, Avalon at Orchard Tracks, amended Block 2, Lot 5, owned by Alvina Unser, within the unincorporated area of Ada County, Idaho, and contiguous to the corporate limits of the City of CUNA, into the City of CUNA, Idaho, and establishing the zoning classifications of said real properties and directing the city engineer and the city clerk and providing an effective date.
Any reason we can't fast track it?
Yeah, we can move this in through.
Okay, then I would move we waive the three readings of ordinance 2023-01A.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to waive the three readings. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries.
I would move we approve ordinance 2023-01A.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Bruce?
Aye.
Councilmember Biggs?
Aye.
Councilmember Laraway?
Aye.
Council President McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. And that is all we had on the agenda for tonight. I appreciate everybody's, the staff has all been working very diligently to get things done and moving along. And just like that intersection at Kay and Avalon, sometimes it's really frustrating the amount of time it takes to get through to where it actually looks like we're making headway on a project, and still we plug away at it and try not to get frustrated. And so I just want to thank staff, and that's just one example, but everything that we do is, being a government entity, nothing is as easy as it looks. So
also thank you about the the video?
Yes.
I know it was a lot, so thank you.
Yeah.
No. Question first. Good.
Yes.
Hey, Chief, have you got your motorcycles yet?
Good evening, Mayor, Councilman Larraway, or I'm sorry, Mike Fortusco, Chief of Police, 1450 West Boise Street, Cuna, Idaho. The Harley Davidsons are at High Desert. They've been stickered. They're ready to go, with the exception of the trunk box, which we've been waiting a couple months on, I believe. They're supposed to be here this week. As soon as those are on, then they'll head to our shops at the sheriff's office, get the computers mounted, a few other things. But a couple people saw them today. Mayor, you were not here at your office, I believe, when they came by. But they actually rode in the procession for Deputy Nelson today when Deputy Nelson was released from the hospital and returned home. They look pretty sharp, so appreciate the mayor and the city clerk and her staff for that grant and getting us that. It's going to make a huge difference. They look really nice, and hopefully they'll be out in the next few weeks.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. That's we've finally made the move to actually have some dedicated officers to do some traffic stuff. So,
thank you,
Mr. Mayor. I'd like to just ask one thing, and of course Morgan's not here, so this may be a discussion for the next meeting. But with all of the what happened in the State House with the bill about the data center. Mm-hmm. I'm just curious where that leaves our urban renewal district. What's next for the urban renewal district? Does it go? Are we going to continue it? This is just a food for thought, but
yeah. So I don't know if anybody else wants to chime in. Basically, that was the anchor. That was the thing that was really going to provide funding to move forward. Although they're not a part of the urban renewal district. The urban renewal district will remain intact, and as other projects come in, we'll work it through the urban renewal district. It'll just be a lot slower at paying back, and we won't be able to get out of it as quick as we wanted. But it's not doom and gloom. We'll make it all work. So I think we just have to work a little harder at it this time. So, but yeah, I don't know if anybody else wants to chime in on that. Yeah, Jared?
Yeah, Jared MP City Treasurer. So I think that, we'll see exactly what happens with the increment on that. Clearly there will be some increment that flows through, but as the mayor stated, it won't be as large of an increment as we were originally expecting. However, once other businesses are brought in a few years, I think that we'll see that jump. I think we'll probably have to be a little more selective as to who we're recruiting, though, since they've clearly excluded certain businesses. So I think that will probably be the biggest item is where we go in future negotiations.
And I guess that's the crux of everything that I've been wondering is the benefit versus the city, is there a benefit to keep it going? And if it's just a slower growth or a slower return, then that's just something I'd like to understand, I guess, a little more. But, like I said, Morgan's not here. And
well, it's just based on the tax increment that is provided by growth out there. So if it's a smaller tax increment, maybe we can use it for some projects. Maybe it won't take care of everything we need to get done, but we can at least use it to get things started. Ada County Highway District already gets all of those funds for roadway improvements, so it might be perhaps that a roadway improvement needs to happen quicker so we can use our funding to help increase the dollar amount so they can get a roadway improvement made. I guess it's just one of those, it's kind of an unknown at this point since we don't have that anchor starting out. So,
well, if the bypass ever happens, that area will look a lot more attractive, I would imagine, too.
That's right.
I did have one other question, if I may.
Yes.
For the chief. I had a couple of people in the community ask about graffiti. Are we saying that come down? Did we? Are we addressing it, or has it been higher or lower? Or?
Mayor, council members, Councilmember Bruce, Mike Fratusco, Chief of Police, City of Cuna, 1450 West Boise. The graffiti has, it took off there for quite a while. Thanks to citizens. Thank you to Parks and Rec for having cameras up in the right places. We did just solve a large graffiti issue. We got suspects, confessions, and charges routed appropriately. I can't discuss the case in specifics, but we did solve a very large portion of the graffiti here recently.
Okay, thank you.
That's a little question for Jared. Yeah. Jared, kind of talking about the Urban Renewal District, we have Urban Renewal West and Urban Renewal East. Is that those funds interchangeable, or once they're established in the East, they stay in the East? And
so, Councilman Laraway, so they are dedicated within their own Urban Renewal District, and so those funds would not be able to be mixed.
Okay.
Essentially, they would be under the same banner. So when you see our audit for the audited financials in the spring, when our auditors come out, they would be in the same report. However, they'd be shown as two separate funds. Okay. Within that Urban Renewal.
I'm just curious if it was movable money.
Right. Yeah. There. So like any money that's earned from the East wouldn't be able to be deployed in the core of the city. It would just be within that one industrial zone.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything further?
Good, thank you.
Very good.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Well, thank you, everyone. And with that, meeting is adjourned.
We didn't say any bad things.
And I think it's ridiculous. Bobby and I always ask each other how long the meeting's going to take. And he wins every time. 45 minutes. Look at that. 51.
Why did you say?
Oh, I was thinking.